My name is Stephanie Preisner. I am a founding member of Within F Productions, which is based in Dublin and Cork.
My name is Fionn Woodhouse. I'm a founding member of Within F Productions.
I came to drama through Activate Youth Theatre in Cork. And after that, I did a degree in drama and theatre studies in UCC. At that time, I didn't really know whether I wanted to be involved, what side of theatre I wanted to be involved in. Was it directing, acting or writing? So I did that degree for 3 years, along with Spanish. And then when I graduated, I came to the Gaiety School of Acting in Dublin to do a full-time actor training course because I decided I wanted to train as an actor.
I work primarily as a drama facilitator, working with young people in Cork City and County.
When I left the Gaiety School of Acting, I sat around and waited for the phone to ring for a while. When it stopped ringing, I decided that I wanted to have some autonomy over my own career and to initiate work and give an opportunity to hire, you know, to create work for myself and for other people. And so I started to write a piece that I had started writing while I was in the Gaiety School of Acting as a 5-minute piece called Our Father, which was part of a class called Manifesto, where you make your own pieces of theatre 5 minutes long with a mentor. So I had written that with Anthony Fox from the New Theatre. And then when I, that summer after I graduated, I continued to write it as a 3-person show. And I kind of started to develop this style of writing, which was largely inspired by Arthur Reardon, which is kind of rhyme and, but not really poetry though, kind of contemporary rhyme and verse. And so Arthur was a great help in that. And so that was the first thing that I did, which was Our Father. And my new place, Albertine Is My Boyfriend, kind of came out of that experience as well.
I came to drama again, primarily through Activate Youth Theatre, and trained as a youth leader with graffiti and just stuck around.
Our Father is a 3-hander rhyming monologue. The characters are a girl who's about 24, her father and her father's new wife. My own parents got divorced when I was a child. And so that was the starting point for the play, looking at how that affects a young person growing up and kind of the unknown territory and the unknown stories and reasons why that happened. And so Our Father is about, it skips forward in time until she's an adult and her mother dies and meeting her father for the first time at her mother's funeral. That part of the story is not autobiographical, but it is something that I kind of imagined. I often imagine growing up what that would be like, or situations in which I would meet my father. So I took a real incident, an autobiographical incident from my life, and then dramatised it, fictionalised around it, which is the craft of writing, I suppose.
I work primarily as a workshop facilitator. I work for Graffiti Theatre Company, which is an educational theatre company based in Cork City. It's run by a wonderful woman called Emily Fitzgibbon. And I work for the Outreach Department, which is run by Geraldine O'Neill. And I've been working there for about 10 years. The youth theatre that is attached to Graffiti Theatre Company is Activate, which is where myself and Steph both would have been and first become interested in theatre and youth theatre.
Salbadine Is My Boyfriend is a reaction to my life and how I experience it at the moment. Having moved from Mallow to Dublin and starting a life that I kind of wasn't very sure of, and all of my friends who have decided to emigrate for greener pastures in Australia and Canada, and how I feel about that, which is that it's kind of, you know, that we've had this kind of growing up in this, like these Celtic tiger cubs with this great life, being told that we could have whatever we wanted and graduating from our degrees that were free and walking out onto the street and not being able to find a job, and this kind of sense of entitlement that my generation have to whatever they want and to not be part of a country that is in depression. And so I kind of use the analogy of a relationship that is in depression as well, and how people kind of, they feel that they're entitled to have a great time. I'm 25 now, so people who grew up mainly during those naughty years in secondary school, who, you know, made between 800 and £1,200 for her first Holy Communion, this extortionate amount of money being thrown at us, being told that we could go to college and do whatever we wanted. Why would you do it? You know, like, of course you could do drama. Of course you should do drama. Why wouldn't you? You know, just, it's a free degree. Go and do it. You'll get a job somehow. People kind of training in ridiculous areas, where I think now the generation that is below me have a much more focused view on kind of getting vocational training and, you know, not just doing an arts degree because they need to get a job out of it. We just kind of were a bit short-sighted, a bit myopic. Salpadine Is My Boyfriend is a play that I wrote in reaction to where I found myself this year in 2012, and also the use of prescription medication or over-the-counter painkillers, which is something that which I became really interested in because I was on a writing residency in Monaghan, and I was really hungover one day and I said, listen, does anyone have Salpadine? And about 6 to 8 people reached into their bag and produced this soluble genius god. And I was just fascinated that, like, there are definitely countries and cultures in the world where nobody would have a prescription or over-the-counter painkiller. And in Ireland, it's just something that is so, so rampant. And the title of the play has gotten so much publicity because everyone kind of responds to it definitely in some way or can kind of relate to it. I certainly think that my generation and maybe the generation above me use prescription painkillers not just for hangover, but just for kind of just like Baraka, you know, just to get the day started, to make the day a little bit more easy, and using painkillers to kill pain that may be emotional pain or maybe just kind of as a coping mechanism, and that's really, really unhealthy.
The original play that we first put on was Shape of a Girl by Joan McLeod, who's a Canadian writer. And myself and Steph both read this story and just loved the story. So the play Shape of a Girl is based on the Rena Virk story that was something that happened in Canada in 1996. Essentially, a girl was bullied and then beaten to death by a group of her peers. And the play looks at a girl who's watching this new story unfold and relating it to her own life and going, I can see how that happens. I can see how I could be someone who would be involved in bullying someone, and how we could get to a point where we would actually kill her or cause her to kill herself. And in this story, she says no to her friends. I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't want to hang around and be involved in this, and therefore isolates herself. And it's just that looking into yourself, looking at those choices that you made that's got you into this position.
I've trained as an actor, and that's something that I really want to do, but I feel like I kind of have too much to say at the moment to speak other people's words. And the reason that I use theatre as a medium is because I really believe in it, and I think that it's so important and so powerful, and I think that that's why I go and see a lot of theatre, and I get so angry that a lot of it is so mediocre, and the only reason that I get so angry and upset is because I know what it can do, and that's why I keep going back. And I think that theatre is so important to society. It's the only medium that where society can have a mirror held up to itself and show people what is going on, possible ways to get out of it, how we got into it. And I think that it's under all, like, in this economic climate and all of the economic downfalls that have happened all over the world in times gone by, it has still survived, and people are still buying tickets. And I think that they might be buying less and they might be, you know, prioritizing other things, but people, I think, deep down value the arts and know that, and I hope that they know that it's one of the only industries that has generated, you know, revenue for this country in the last couple of years. I think when I see theatre, and I would classify it as mediocre, it's about a lack of rigour and a lack of development. I think the way we fund arts in this country means that people don't get enough time to develop it. We have a process usually of 4 to 5 weeks rehearsal, and then a show opens, and a lot of times directors leave at that point. But there are countries, like in America, like we saw the Worcester Group and Elevator Repair Service this year in the theatre festival with two shows. I didn't enjoy them both. I really enjoyed one, but you couldn't fault them on being underdeveloped or not having a rigorous rehearsal process. They both have very high values on getting things right and doing things again and again and again. And their directors are really, they just deal with the work really rigorously. They are constantly re-rehearsing it. The design is so linked to the performance, to the text. It's so collaborative. I think it's really important for Dublin theatre makers to see an ensemble working so tightly together, so that the lighting designer is at every single rehearsal and is completely influenced by what the sound designer is doing, and he's influenced by what the actors are doing and the director. It's just one big conversation, not like everyone gets a script and on the first day of tech everyone arrives in with their design and they're all after designing completely different plays. And I'm not saying that that happens all the time in theatre. Like, for example, we saw the Murphy Cycle, the Druid Murphy, in the theatre festival, and it was just heartbreaking. And I was actually kind of embarrassed that I had never, like, as a young writer, that I had never read or seen A Whistle in the Dark before, because it's such a powerful play. I really, you know, I wish I'd written it, but that's kind of a moot point. But it's just so powerful. And I think that, so there are Irish companies that are making really good work as well, but I just think that in Ireland, across the board, there's a really weird mix of amateur and professional. And I think some theatre that I see that would class itself as professional, I would classify as strong amateur productions. I think that the way we see it, the way that we view theatre, people kind of dabble in it. A lot of people have other day jobs, and that's, you know, that's understandable because of the economic climate. But I just don't think that we're serving ourselves well by making work that is underdeveloped. Cork's a terror for it. Like, Cork has this really weird mix of amateur and professional, and it's why Cork loses a lot of its talented people for Dublin. And so, like, with an F Productions, you know, if Fionn's professional career has kind of moved into the facilitation drama and kind of developing young talent, and that's really important. But what happens is, and we find this because we run a youth theatre together as well, is that the young people, they don't have anywhere to go if they want vocational training, if they want to be professional actors, they have to move to Dublin. And so it's really difficult that WithAnF is split between Dublin and Cork, because, you know, our meetings have to be over the phone or kind of monthly when I come back. Also, Fionn has a family, so it's kind of different. But it's just, Dublin seems to attract, you know, and people will always gravitate towards the capital. But I think that Cork needs to, I think, rethink how it looks at arts and how it looks at theatre. And I think Tom Creed has taken over the Cork Midsummer Festival now, and I think that will be really good for development of talent in Cork.
And just on that as well, I think that for the people that we see in the youth theatres, they haven't an experience of theatre. You know, the vast majority of them, I would agree with Stephanie, I would hope that people would value theatre and still keep going to it. I don't know that they do, but for the vast majority of the people who come to us, their experience of theatre is going to the Panto once when they were seven, and that's what they think theatre is. And should be about.
I don't think, yeah, maybe Cork can't sustain professional theatre because people, maybe it's a demand supply thing, but I think that, you know, a lot of people have other jobs, which means that they're not fully committed to their craft as performers, which means that the performances are mediocre, which means the audiences are unsatisfied, and over time it just starts to fail.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree that there is a problem with the theatre in Cork, in that if I go to a show, and I don't go as much as I should, I mean, I work in theatre and it's my day job and what I do, but still I wouldn't go every month even, or every 2 months I wouldn't get to see a show. So I'm not supporting the theatre in Cork, but when I do go, and then somewhere like the Everyman is a quarter full, and you feel bad for the performers, even if they're putting on a great show, even worse if they're not putting on a great show. But people aren't going because it costs a lot of money, and if it's not great theatre that they're going to see, they go once and they go, well, that, you know, the two of us went and it cost 25 euros each, I'm not going to go again.
Cork, you know, has this kind of history of semi-pro, and that it speaks to a Cork audience. That's all well and good if Cork wants to sustain that semi-professional theatre that speaks to itself. But as an artist, I need to develop. I need to emerge. I need to be challenged. And I can't get that. When I was in Cork, I was being typecast. I was working with the same people. I had done my degree. I knew everyone in Cork in the industry, and I just needed more. I needed to go to Dublin to start seeing myself in the context of where I wanted to be and not where I was. And so I think that as a challenge for me as an artist, and also as a challenge for an audience, I really love bringing my work back to Cork now and challenging the audience and challenging myself to bring it to them. But I think that if I had stayed in Cork, my work and the audience's perception of my work would have stagnated, and no one would have been satisfied.
I wouldn't move up to Dublin because I like the kind of work that I do, developing young people or working with young people to develop theatre from that point, and not necessarily giving completed theatre to them, but showing them what theatre can be, and showing it how they can have a voice through theatre. So that's the kind of work that I really enjoy doing and get something from. So I guess that I could probably move to Dublin and do that in Dublin, but I enjoy the people I do it with in Cork.
I think it's a strong point of ours that WithAnF Productions in Dublin and in Cork, because it gives us, you know, there's an awful lot that can happen in Dublin where artists are surrounded by artists and your work becomes about how you can get funding from the Arts Council. And I think that to be based in Cork as well and to go back there and develop work down there and bring it to, develop work in Cork and then bring it to Dublin and vice versa, gives us a kind of an edge that is rooted in the community, rooted in real stories and real people and not just artists and the Arts Council. And that's something that I think the three productions that we have done, The Shape of a Girl, Our Father and Salpatine is My Boyfriend, have concerned themselves with real people, real stories. And I'm not saying that Dublin theatre doesn't do that, but I think it's very important for me to keep a strong root with Cork.
There's something that theatre isn't connecting with people. They aren't willing to spend the money on it. They don't see the value in it. And I think that's something that the theatre industry has to look at in terms of how do we connect with an audience again, a wider audience. With the downturn and there being cuts in funding, you can't rely on funding from the government all the time. You have to make work that's going to connect with people or show people how it does connect with them. And I think that's a real challenge. It's going to be a real challenge going forward, is worldwide, I think, for theatre, is how do you reconnect with your audience?
I write about things that I know and how I see the world. I start usually with a true story and then fictionalise it so that I have something that's really grounded to start with. At the moment, I'm writing a play called This Is Normal Now, which is my first play that isn't going to be for myself to perform, which is really interesting. And I'm developing another play based on a major Irish political party with Tom Creed. So these are two things that I'm kind of, you know, stepping into territory that I'm not fully comfortable with, though I wouldn't say that I'm comfortable with any territory because I've only written two plays. But I think that, you know, I'm looking for dramaturgical help from Tom and from other dramaturgs to develop those skills that I don't quite have yet.